So as I mentioned earlier, we're looking at the apostles, all 13 of them. That includes Paul, those original 13. And I thought Brian offered to, he's going to be in town, and we talked about, let's do this a different format. So you have now entered a radio station. You're on your, you're driving in your car. Well, they didn't have cars back then. Or you're listening on the radio at home, and you come upon this station and this program. So we're going to present it that way. Now, you'll be able to see and look in. And nowadays, the popular thing for radio stations is to have a camera, so you can see what the actual person's doing. I'm always amazed. I've watched a couple of those. They're like doing nothing other than talking into the microphone. And I'm like, why am I watching this? That was 30 minutes of my life I just wasted away. So, but it's interesting. So you've got the camera into the radio station as we're doing an interview. And we're pretending like it is about 10 years after the resurrection. So John wrote those three letters sometime in that time frame. Hasn't written the gospel yet, nor the book of Revelation. That came later. The gospel somewhere around the year 75. And then the revelation comes way at the end of his life, after he'd been banished to the island of Patmos and was not going to have freedom anymore. John the Younger is the only apostle to die a natural death. All the other ones were martyred. They were because of their faith in Jesus Christ and the hatred of the world, they were killed. And so John's the only one that lives to the very, very ripe old age. So we're going to present to you all an interview with the Apostle John. Well, greetings, my friends. My name's Theophilus. I'm a friend of God. We're grateful that you tuned in to the Faith First channel, where your faith always comes first. We have a special guest with us today in the studio. It is none other than John the Apostle. And this is part of our sermon series on the first 13 apostles. Let's not forget Paul. He was number 13, and he wouldn't let us forget that even if we tried. Well, without much further ado, let us begin our discussion with John. Welcome, welcome, John. We're so glad you could be here with us on this fine day.
It is my pleasure to be here with you today, Theo, on your show. Is it all right? Can I call you Theo?
Hey, you can call me anything you like as long as you don't call me late for dinner.
I chuckle myself up.
All right, so something back to a little bit more serious note here. John, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, your family life, your profession.
Yeah. Well, as you said, my name is John.
That was a pretty common name back then, wasn't it?
It was. In fact, in my village, we had four Johns. Just on the road he lived on. What else about me? I'm a younger brother of two, my older brother James. Our father is Zebedee. Our mom is Salome.
Wait, you have a brother?
I do have a brother. His name is James. He's currently in prison right now. Not a good situation. However, we were fishermen, and we often would fish with another set of brothers, Peter and Andrew.
So you and your brother James, did you have any nicknames growing up?
Oh, I can't believe people are still referring to us as this. We did. We were called the Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder? That sounds nasty. Why? Why did they call you that, Sons of Thunder?
Well, Theo, we, way back when, granted, we were very immature. I was about 12. James was 15. We were loud. We were boisterous. We were kind of rambunctious.
Well, you seem so calm now. But I'll tell you what, the real reason why we're here is not talking about you. I hate to tell you that.
But it's to talk about
Jesus. Yeah. So tell us how you met Jesus, what impact he made in your life. You know, how did you meet him? I mean, Jesus.
That's a great question. We fished a lot way back when. It's been about 13, 14 years now. And we had heard rumblings about the Messiah had come.
Oh, my.
So myself, Peter, Andrew, and my older brother James, we were out looking for the Messiah.
Well, Messiah, for that listening audience out there, that's a Hebrew word. It means anointed one. It also, Christ also means anointed one, to give you an idea. We know that as Savior. Depending on what language you speak. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you,
John. That's okay. That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point.
So where did you go to find out about this Messiah?
Well, as I was saying, we were hearing about the Messiah, and we heard this kind of loud preacher who ate locusts and honey, wore camel skins. He was quite a character named John the Baptist.
Oh, now wait. Did he say he was the Messiah?
No, it was very interesting. He did not say he was the Messiah to all you listeners out there. In fact, here's what he said. He said that he was not even worthy to untie the Messiah's sandals.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Wow. Okay, well, go on. So if John the Baptist is not the Messiah.
No, he's not. Nope. No,
how did you meet Jesus?
Well, here's what happened. We were listening to John preach, and he was about to baptize this young woman in the Jordan River, when all of a sudden he stops. Because in the distance, he saw Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, Mary and Joseph's boy.
Okay.
He sees him coming down the hillside, and he says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as he said this, and he pointed at Jesus, everyone turned, and everyone stared, and they realized something special had just happened.
Well, okay, so then what, I mean, after that, what did you do?
Well, we have been following Jesus. John's opinion, John's thoughts carried some weight for us. So we have been following him for a few months.
Okay.
And then Jesus then appointed us, called us to be his chosen disciples.
Oh, my.
Wonderful, wonderful.
How many of there were you, original?
Trying to think here. Original, there were 12 of us. Original.
Okay, all right. So what do you think about his choices? I understand he made some unique choices in terms of the humans, you know, the men he wanted to follow him.
That's a good distinction. Looking back and who Jesus was and who he said he was and what he did, Jesus was free to choose whoever, being the Son of God. But some of his choices really didn't make a whole lot of sense back then. He chose a young man named James, son of Alphaeus. We virtually unknown.
Okay.
Didn't really know his background. He chose Simon. Simon was, he was a fiery one.
Ooh,
not
yeah.
Simon Peter, Simon the Lesser. He was connected with a group called the Zealots.
Oh, my.
Woo-wee. He talked a lot about trying to overthrow the government. He was determined. And, of course, we do know Jesus chose a man named Judas to keep our books, control our money. And Judas turned out to be fairly dishonest. And we all know how that ended up.
Well, thank you for your insight into that. Now, Jesus also had an inner group.
He did.
He had the 12,
he had the
and then a smaller group of which you were part.
Yeah, there were three of us. Theo, that's true. There were three of us. Jesus confided a lot in just the three of us. He spent much time with all 12, but for some of the more important things of his ministry, he talked to myself, Simon Peter, and James. So,
okay. So did you all see anything as that inner group that the other 12, the other nine, weren't blessed to see?
We did. As I'm looking back, it's been about 12
mm-hmm.
years,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing really remarkable about us. Jesus showed us some incredible things.
Okay.
One day we went to the top of a mountain, and we thought Jesus was going to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We thought he was going to share something amazing about who he was, about God or Moses, but what we saw just far outweighed all of that. It was absolutely amazing.
So what did you all see on this mountaintop?
Well, while we were on top of the mountain, it was a bright, crisp day, very few clouds in the sky, really, really is a sunny day. Jesus stops, and his appearance changes in an instant. He becomes glowing, maybe even brighter than the sun. This incredible light shines on him. He's transfigured right before our eyes.
Okay.
And I said, I cannot believe I'm seeing this.
Wow.
And to top it off, that's not only the most remarkable thing. Out comes Elijah and out comes Moses, the prophets of old, and we are stunned. We are speechless.
Wait, Elijah and Moses? I mean, they're dead.
Yeah, they've been gone for a long time.
So what do you think Jesus appearing with these two characters, what these two people, what do you think that means for us who are followers?
That's a good question. After the event happened and Jesus was resting, we spent a lot of time, myself, Peter, and James, talking about what does this mean? And our conclusion came out that Elijah coming shows that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy and the kingdom of heaven is here. That's what Elijah coming means.
All right.
And Moses coming out showed us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. That the law that Moses had has now been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's, we were just so blessed. And we see that that was true. That was right.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So we talked about a high point.
We did. We did.
Or what about, do you have any regrets? That you might have had in an encounter with Jesus?
Wow. There were a lot of good moments, a lot of things we didn't understand. But Jesus used every moment as a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible teacher. I will say there is one, and Theo, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this to all your listeners out there.
Well, I mean, come on. We live in a redeemed community. Go ahead, share that, please.
Fine. For your listeners, I'll share this story.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
James and I thought that since we were in the inner circle, that we were being groomed to be people that were very important. Jesus is right and his left-hand man. So we thought we would really make sure that our thoughts were right. So we asked our mother, Salome, to go ask Jesus to give us these spots, the spot on the right and spot on the left in the kingdom of heaven. We thought, Salome, no one could refuse our mom.
Wait a second. You asked your mom to ask Jesus?
Really? We did.
You all are adults. Come on. So tell me, what did Jesus say? Can you share that with us?
To be fair, I was only 17 at the time, so I'm going to chalk it up to youthful indiscretion.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
Anyway, here's what Jesus said. Jesus, once again, surprised us as usual. He didn't get upset. He didn't give us the spots right away, but he looked at James and I, and he said, "You are not ready or prepared to drink the cup of suffering that I'm about to drink, nor are you ready to walk the road which I walked." And we were shocked. We were shocked. Jesus said that we weren't ready to be martyred to follow him fully. We were shocked.
Oh, my goodness. So that was one of the low points.
So if you had to pick one high point
of your time with Jesus here on earth, what would that be?
Wow, Theo, there were so many. There really were. Jesus, he turned water into wine. He let the little children come unto him.
Mm-hmm.
He fed 4,000, then he fed 5,000.
Right.
But I will say, looking back at those incredible 3 years, the high point had to have been Resurrection Sunday. We had truly believed on that first Good Friday, all our hopes and all our dreams had been crushed. We believed that everything we had worked for, everything we had hoped, had gone away. But everything changed that first Easter Sunday. Dream come true.
What happened?
Well, we were here's what happened. It was a fairly cloudy day, a little bit on the chilly side. We were sitting eating breakfast. We were in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
We thought to ourselves that they came after they got Jesus. They crucified Jesus. We're next. So we were in hiding. The lights were down. We were eating in almost complete darkness. No one said a word. No one was saying anything. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Mary Magdalene rushes into the room, and she starts talking incredibly fast. She's excited. She saw something. By the time we got Mary to settle down just a little bit, we found out that she had, and the other women had gone to anoint Jesus' body with spices, with myrrh, and precious spices. And when she got to the tomb had been rolled away. She met an angel, and the tomb was empty.
What did you all do hearing this news?
Well, as soon as Peter heard the sentence, "The tomb is empty," he jumped up from his seat and sprinted right to Joseph's tomb.
Oh, my.
I took a minute to process, but I was pretty much right behind Peter.
Okay.
And being a little bit younger than Peter, I easily caught him and I passed him. But as soon as I got to the entrance of that tomb, Theo, I stopped.
Oh, you stopped?
I did.
Well, how come?
Peter was our leader. He was kind of the elder. In terms of tradition and custom, he should have entered first.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I didn't quite know what I was going to see when I got inside the tomb.
Okay, so once you were both inside,
Peter
going in first, you're going in second. What did you see? Tell us. Tell our audience.
It was being a little tall. As you can see, I had to duck quite low to get in there. It was cold. It was dark. But after Peter lit a torch, we shone it in the corner where the the body leg.
Okay.
And all that was on where his body was supposed to be was just grave clothes. He wasn't there.
Well, how confusing this must have been.
It was very confusing, but as we began to talk and understand and process all that we had seen, we saw that Jesus had to rise from the dead, be killed and rise again to fulfill prophecy.
So that morning,
yeah.
Did you see Jesus that morning?
No.
So wait, what? When did you first see Jesus then?
It was quite confusing. We don't quite know what he was doing, but about a week later was the first time we saw, as his 12 disciples, the resurrected Jesus. The delay, Theo, was killing us.
Yes.
We had heard reports that Jesus had seen Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. He'd even been on the road to Emmaus, but he had not yet chosen to come to us, his apostles.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, about a week after the resurrection, it was a Sunday. We were all in a locked room, and Jesus enters the room. And as we saw him, a body fully restored, fully recovered, we were thrilled. Hope had come back.
So he just appears in the room, goes through the door had locked, right?
Yep.
Didn't open it,
went right through the door.
Okay, standing in your midst, what's the first thing he said? I tell you what, our listeners sent a lot of questions in on this one.
Yeah.
What did he say?
The very first thing he said wasn't a word of judgment, wasn't a word of disappointment, it was a word of peace. Jesus gave us his peace. And then he said this, he didn't leave any detailed instructions, he didn't leave a to-do list, all he said was this, he said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll know what to do, what's next.
Well, I have to say, John, we're near the end of our time.
Yeah.
We do know the Holy Spirit came upon
you
because reports have been rolling in
over
those years of healings,
healings
in the temple, healings on the road, even people with the most hardened hearts coming around and believing in Jesus. But I have one more question to ask you.
What's that?
We've read your three letters. They've been circulating among the churches. You speak a great deal about love.
I do, yeah.
Okay, in fact, you reference yourself as the one whom Jesus loved.
Yeah.
Could you give us an insight? Why is love, of all of the attributes of God, attributes of Jesus, why is that such a prominent subject for you?
Wow. First off,
aren't you glad I saved it for the end?
Wow, that's a loaded question. How much time do you have, Theo?
We have about 3 minutes.
3 minutes? We'll go quick. We'll go quick then. Love is something, and the love of Jesus is something that when you experience it, like I've had in many ways, it makes everything else make sense. It makes the miracles, it makes the teachings, it makes all the interactions, all that makes sense because of the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Without that, the miracles don't make sense. Without that, the relationship's not there. And I really, every time I came to Jesus, every time I talked with him, and I still pray to him, even though he's been ascended for about 10 years now, I see that Jesus knows every part about me. He knows my good qualities. He knows my bad qualities. He knows moments where I'm proud and moments when I'm ashamed. And when I experience Jesus, I see that he loves me and he wants me to be a better man. And he wants me to love him more and more. So I try to be better all the time because of Jesus.
Well, that's beautiful. Now, just a follow-up, if I may. At the foot of the cross, you're the only apostle that was there, right? So this love extended out to the other apostles, and then tie that in with, you were the youngest of all. I mean, kind of like really wet behind the ears when he pulled you into this.
Still am, not even 30 yet.
So how does that love impact? How have you seen it in touching the other apostles who weren't there, and you, who didn't know any better not to be there?
Yeah.
You were there anyway. So how does that love tie in?
Well, my thought process was at the cross. If I'm with Jesus' mother, I'm somewhat safe. They're not going to arrest me, take me away if I'm with the mother.
Good.
So that was my thought process there. Even though I was young, Jesus didn't use that to keep me from serving him. I didn't have to have all this training, all this knowledge. Jesus just wanted me to be faithful.
Hmm.
He just wanted me to be able to show love more and more. And he wanted me to come and to love him. And if I did that, everything else would make sense. And my life was filled with meaning and purpose. My life's been filled with wonderful opportunities to meet great and amazing people and tell them about this love that Jesus had for me, this love that literally changed my life.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing
Thank
all
you,
that.
John,
you,
Theo.
Listening audience, you've heard it right here from John the Younger. And this, unfortunately, ends our Faith First broadcast for today. Tune in next week. We're going to talk a little bit about John's brother, James. That's next week. For now, I'm your host. I'm Theophilus. I'm a friend of God, bidding you a good and blessed day. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the opportunity to hear the story. Hear the story of how Jesus' life and love impacted not only John, but it can impact all of us. Even though we sometimes forget that we should walk with Jesus, he forgives us when we don't do what we're asked to do. There's power in love that we can extend that even to the youngest, to the oldest. Age does not matter. We're to show that love, no matter with whom we are, no matter who we meet. Thank you, great God, for the amazing way in which Jesus shows all this, how his life now can be part of our lives because he rose from the grave. He's not only alive then on that first Easter morning, he's alive forevermore with us. And we're grateful for that, Lord God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.